Good evening and a warm welcome to our evening service here at Romford Baptist Church as we draw to the end of our week of prayer and fasting after the last number of days that we have been coming and turning our minds and our eyes to God. My name is Vicky. I'm one of the ministers and I'm sharing the service with Ian, who will be bringing God's word later on, continuing our series on Malachi. Tonight's service is going to contain communion, and so if you've not got yourself something to resemble the bread, maybe a cracker or a biscuit or a piece of bread and something to resemble the cup, can I encourage you during our first song to just go and get that ready for our time of communion, which will be in a very short while. I don't know how you feel at the end of this week of prayer. Maybe you feel excited. Maybe you feel that you're on a new journey with God. Maybe you're exhausted because you've fitted more into your week than you had done before. Maybe you have heard from God and he's challenging you to do something new. And within that, there is a sense of excitement, but also wondering how that's going to unroll. However, we've come to worship this evening. We have the promise that we can find in Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoice in hope. We can be patient in tribulation. We can be constant in prayer. Because however we are, we have the confidence of knowing that God is with us. However you're feeling, whatever your week has been or what your week will hold, know that God is with you and we can be confident in that. We're going to sing our first song together that reminds us that God is with us as we are still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Psalm 62, verses 5 and 6 says, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken." We have started our service being still for the presence of the Lord. We've been reminded here in those couple of verses that God is our rock and our salvation. As we just pause for a moment in prayer, let us remind ourselves that in all we face, we do not need to fear, because we can find rest in God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that wherever we are meeting this evening, that you are with us. We thank you that in all that we face, you do not leave us to face it alone. We thank you that in all that you have said to us over these last 8 days, that we have the confidence of knowing that you continue to hold us close and that you continue to care about us and this place and this world and this community. And Father God, in all we do, help us to remain strong. Help us to remain focused on you. Help us when we are low to know that we can come to you and we can continue to praise your name. Amen. And we're going to continue to praise God's name as we sing our next song, "Be Still and Know That I Am God." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for that reminder that we just need to perhaps stop in the busyness of all that we do and recognize your presence in our lives. As we come and gather around this table, as we share in the bread and in the cup, Lord, we pray that you will just speak to us as you've been speaking to us over the last few days, and that, Lord, we may be open to what it is that you would say to us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Psalm 103. Verses 8 and 10 to 12 says this: "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." What words of promise, what words of comfort, what words of reassurance that we can come. And we can come and say sorry, and we can come and give thanks for this bread and this cup. And Bernd will now lead us as we do that.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to focus on you tonight at the end of a week of prayer and fasting. Thank you that you died for every single one of us here in Romford. Thank you that you shed blood for us, that we could have eternal life in a relationship with you. We are so grateful for this at this time of reflection as we think of what you did for us at Calvary. Lord, as we take this bread, we remember that you are the bread of life. You feed our soul and nourish our hearts. You give us sustenance to run the race before us. Lord, as we drink this wine, we remember that you are the giver of life. You are forgiveness. You bring deep peace to our souls, and your love flows within us. Gracious God, pour out your spirit upon this gathering, this table, this meal, as we eat and drink in fellowship with each other, that we may be filled with hope for the future. May the Spirit move among us in this place, in our homes. Allow this meal to rejuvenate and empower us as we go into the world this week. Amen.
The Gospel of Mark says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And then he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Jesus' body broken for us. Jesus' blood poured out for each and every one of us. He wants us to eat and to drink because we love him and because he loves us. We may not be physically gathered around the same table, but that bread that was broken was for you as well as me. That blood that was poured out of the generous nature that God has for each one of his creation. As we listen to the words of this song, I invite you in your own homes to eat and to drink. Again and again to this table we come. Once a people estranged, but now we are one because of the bread and of the cup. And so we are thankful for all that God has done for us. We are thankful for his willingness to forgive us when we have done wrong. We are thankful for his ongoing love and his care and his support into the days ahead. And we thank God that we know that we are never on our own, but he is always with us. And as we think about our world and ourselves and for one another, we are going to be led in prayer now by Ken as we continue to give thanks to God for all that he has done. Thank you, Ken.
Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you again for your death on the cross of Calvary, as we have celebrated through the bread and the wine. We are separated from each other, but we thank you that we are not and never will be separated from you. We are your children, we are your family, and we thank you for each other. We thank you that we are the family of God, that although we are not in fellowship with each other in the way that we would like, we are still one in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we bring members of this family to you now. We pray for those who are sick, for those who are in hospital, for those who are anticipating procedures in hospital, maybe going in as outpatients or residents for a day or two. We pray for each person in that situation and the anxiety that they will be feeling at this time. We ask your blessing and your healing power to be with them. We thank you also for those, and we pray also for those who are awaiting tests, either awaiting an appointment or awaiting results of tests. And we pray that you will just be with them, that you will grant them your peace. Father, we pray for those amongst us who have recently been bereaved, or those who are facing possible bereavement because of a serious illness to a loved one. Again, Lord, we pray that your peace and your reassurance will be evident in their lives. Father, we are going through very difficult times, and there's a lot of people who are suffering because of this coronavirus pandemic. Many people are anxious about the situation. We are suffering from depression or anxiety, or struggling in one way or another because we are not able to carry on our lives as we're used to. We're not able to have fellowship with each other as we used to. Pray, Lord, that you'll just give us your reassurance that you are with us in all of these situations. We pray for those who have just gone back to school in the last couple of weeks. We pray for the children, for the teachers. We pray for the students who have left their family homes and gone to different parts of the country to their universities. And we do pray that there will be protection from the virus and other things that could really attack us. The devil will try to attack us as we're leaving familiar surroundings and going to pastures new. We just pray your blessing on each one. So, Father, we thank you that through your death on the cross, we can come to you like this. We have communion with you. We have fellowship with you. And we can pray to you, and we are assured that you hear and answer our prayers. And we ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.
And so, as I've said, we've coming to the end of our week of prayer. And I don't know how you've engaged in the last few weeks, but we know, and we have the confidence of knowing, that our journey with God in prayer hasn't come to an end. It can continue into the days ahead. And I don't know whether you were involved in the prayer launch or in the prayer overnight last Saturday night and into Sunday morning, at the prayer meeting last Sunday morning, or with the services last Sunday, or in the prayer walk last Sunday afternoon. Or you've been taking the themes of each day as you've prayed and turned to God. Whether you were listening this morning as we heard how God's been responding, or you came this afternoon to the prayer stations, or you're with us this evening, and this is how you've chosen to be involved. However you have chosen, however you have turned to God, we really pray and trust that this last week has been a real blessing to you, as it has been to us. Maybe you've picked up some of those ideas of ways to pray, different ways to pray, some of the creative ways that there were. Maybe you've fasted for the first time over this last eight-day period. Maybe you fasted not just necessarily from food, but from something else. We had so many different opportunities to just engage. And yes, some of us have had a fast from social medias, and others of us have used it to see how God is responding. However you have chosen to commune and to spend time with God, listening to him as well as praying to him, we have really been blessed by all that God has said to us. And it's really good to know that we can always come to God in prayer. And we are going to be reminded of that as we sing our next song, which starts with those lovely words, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." We've thought about that, haven't we, as we've taken communion. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's sing. You will hopefully have received your notice sheet, and as you will know, the services continue to be online Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And if you wish to come to either the Sunday morning service or to the Wednesday midweek lunchtime service, you do need to book in to make sure that there is space. It's been great to see more people coming into the building at Sunday and also on a Wednesday, but we do need to make sure that we continue to follow the restrictions that are placed on us at this very difficult time. But of course, we can gather too during the week. On Tuesday, there is the prayer meeting that's open to anyone who wants to join us, and the information is on the notice sheet, as there is the opportunity to come for our midweek Wednesday evening service. Our Wednesday evening study course of the character course. That is on Wednesday evening at 7:45. If you missed the first one, don't worry. Come and join in on our second week. We continue to thank Hannah for all that she is doing with the young people, so much of it online. And all of those things are continuing week by week. We've already had the activities for the day for Sunday, but the youth game continues on Wednesday evening. And we thank Hannah for all that she is doing. And it's great to know that so many of you are enjoying all that is to be had. We continue to thank you too for your continuing offerings and tithes. Whether you're bringing them into the building on a Sunday or Wednesday when you come, or you're putting them via the bank or directly through the website, we are grateful for all that is being received. Obviously, with so few people in the building, our offerings are taking and are having an impact as they're not as high as they were. So we really are grateful to anyone who is able to continue to give week by week or month by month. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we can continue to give, that, Lord, even out of our little, you know that what you want us to do is to continue to give to you, and because we know that you will bless us in a way that is far bigger and far more amazing than the way that we give to you and to this place. Lord, in all that this money is used week by week and in the month and the year to come, Father God, we know that it's used for your ministry both here and further afield, and Lord, we pray a blessing upon it and all that it is used for. Amen. Our reading is from Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. And now, you priests, this warning is for you. If you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honour my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them, because you have not resolved to honour me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will smear on your faces the dung from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent you this warning, so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me, and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. Do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? Judah has been unfaithful. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying women who worship a foreign god. As for man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord remove him from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings an offering to the Lord Almighty. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? It is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your mouth, of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. Amen. Before Ian comes to bring and share what God has laid on him for this passage this evening, we're going to sing again, Holy Words.
A professional trainer called Jack was writing about the ground rules that he places for each of his seminars. And people who are coming on the seminars are expected to agree to these rules. Firstly, to be on time. Secondly, to sit in a different chair after every break. That'll be a challenge in church, wouldn't it? To sit in a different chair every week. Thirdly, no alcoholic beverages until the training is over. And then there are others. He makes them sign a form to say, yes, I agree to these rules. And I agree to keeping the ground rules. On the morning of the third day of the training, he asked who had broken one of the ground rules to stand up. What becomes apparent, he writes in his journal, is how casually we give our word and then how casually we break it. How casually we give our word and how casually we break it. Have you been disappointed by somebody who promised to be there when you needed them? Or, yes, I'll do that for you, and then they never do. And maybe you know people who have promised all sorts of things and they have disappointed. Or maybe you are one of them who is quick to say, yes, I'll do that, but fail to carry it through. Today, as we look at the second chapter of Malachi, we're asking the similar question. Have we promised God things that we fail to carry through? Cavett Roberts, an author and professional speaker, writes this: character is the ability to carry out a good resolution long after the excitement of the moment has passed. Character is the ability to carry out a good resolution long after the excitement of the moment has passed. And character is honouring our commitments. It's a quality that attracts people to you and enhances your relationships and opportunities. Failing to honour our commitments will tarnish our image and have a negative effect on our reputation. Honouring commitments impacts all dimensions of life. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you honour the commitments you make to your friends and your relatives? To your team, do you show up for them even in tough or uncomfortable situations? Are you still committed at the difficult times? Do you keep the promises that you make? And do you keep the promises you have made to God? The people of Judah, with the priests leading the way, had failed to keep their agreements with God. They had treated God with disrespect, dishonoring his name. They had treated sacred things as common. And they turned away from God's law, disobeying his commands. And with such casual respect for God and God's rules and God's commands, they had divorced their Jewish wives, breaking their vows to marry pagan women. Malachi comes into this environment as the prophet of God, the prophet who sees what's happening and hears God's voice speaking to the people. And through that, he makes a stern rebuke. He presented several reasons why the Jewish people were to honor their commitments and should follow, we should follow suit. And I want to just stop for a moment before we go any further and ask you just to write down maybe some commitments you have made to God in the past. Maybe you want to think about commitments you have made. Maybe you have sung that song with gusto, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night." Maybe you have promised to make that phone call to someone to say, "Yes, Lord, yes, I will follow you always. Yes, I will come to you." And you have just made that promise to the phone call. Oh, and you forget it. Sorry, too busy. What is it we have promised God that we have failed to keep? What have we said to God with all sincerity and instantly forgotten? The first thing we want to see is that we need to hear and do. If you look at Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2, it says these words: "If you do not listen and if you do not resolve to honor my name, the Lord says, the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not resolved to honor me." It's one thing to believe something is true. It's another thing to obey it. It's one thing to hear God speaking and say amen. It's another thing to live it. James reminds us in James 1:22 that we need to be not only hearers of the word, but doers. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. What is it that we are doing that is contrary to what God has commanded us? Do you remember young Samuel? There he is asleep on his bed and he hears "Samuel, Samuel," and he runs to Eli. But after hearing God's voice in three different occasions, he responds, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Speak, for your servant is listening. He is open to God speaking into his life. This week we've had a week of prayer and fasting, and several people have put on their feedback, things they are thinking God is saying to them, and we're going to be looking through those as we reflect on what God is saying to the church. But what about what God is saying to you? You see, you may be able to convince others you're right. You may be able to convince yourself you're right. But you can't convince God you're right if you are wrong, if you are living a wrong life. I would go as far to say if you are living contrary to what God has told you or taught you, then there will be a consequence. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "I will send a curse on you." The curse being a big word, but it's not receiving God's blessing is bad enough. God's punishment, it may be something different. Can you say, "Speak, Lord, I am listening"? And in listening, are you ready to obey? Are you honouring your commitments? The litmus test of obedience is whether or not you are living what you know to be true. How do we know we are living according to what God has spoken to us into our lives? Well, firstly, in verse 5, we have that. My covenant was with him, a covenant for life and peace, and I gave them this. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. And so the first thing that, as God has spoken to us, we need to do is to stand in awe of God. Stand in awe of God. In Christianity, we have many different images of God. God the Father, God a friend. In that song, "As a deer pants for the water," it has that line, "You are my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king." And sometimes we overplay the friend and get very pally with God, that we fail to recognize that he is a holy God, and we need to stand in respect of that awesome holiness. Many of us, if we are honest with ourselves, play games with God. We compromise, disobeying whenever we feel like it, and we fail to reveal our awesome God. Tonight, as we hear this message and we ask the question, what are we giving to God? Are we giving him the place in our life of a king, of a holy God, of a revered God? The second test is that we know when God is speaking truth into our lives, and we receive truth. We accept God's invitation, maintain a steady intake of the Bible, God's word, and we allow God's word to penetrate our lives like a stake driven into the ground. God's word is our command. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God breathed, useful for teaching, training, and rebuking." And actually, listening to God is also listening through the scriptures and allowing the scriptures speak into our lives. So much that is adopted by the church these days is a watered down teaching. The Bible is very clear on so many things. And unless we allow God's word to shape us, we are disrespecting our holy, reverend God. What compromises have you made to your understanding of truth? How are you going to come back to living truth? Malachi 2 verse 6 continues, true instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. I wonder if that line could be written about you, about me. He, she walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. Can we talk and say, I walk with God in a good and upright way? Or are we fooling ourselves when we do that? Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What in the words of Psalm 139, lead me in a way everlasting. What is it that God is wanting to turn us and shape us from, turn away from? That God is sovereign. Verse 7 continues, for the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and speak, and people seek instruction from his mouth. The Levitical priests represent God and revealed his will to the people. And we as kingdom priests in the world today bear that same responsibility. We are God's messengers to a lost world. We guide people into truth. If we are going to be listening to God, we need to be people who represent God to others. There are four commitments we should make on a daily basis. Honour God, drink from his word, live distinctively as God's people, and to be his messengers in the world. Representing God to others. But that is how we can start to respond in obedience. But Malachi continues, because this chapter is about the people who have rebelled and gone against God, and we need to beware of the consequences. Malachi is not into being popular, as so many people are. If you watch any politician on the TV or radio, if you watch any celebrity, they want to be popular. Malachi's not into that. He's going to say it as it is. And if people don't like it, well, this is what God is saying. And there's an element as the church that sometimes we have tried to make the church fit the world rather than to say the church is countercultural. In fact, right back at the beginning of the church in the first century, the church was rebellious. It was going against the culture of the day. It was teaching that life should be different and to honour God. If you read back in the verses we've already looked at, in verse 2 it says God will curse. He reminds his hearers that if we fail to keep God's commitments, God will punish. The heart is the command center of a person's life. Your heart, what is in your heart, is the command center of your life. Okay, we know that knowledge is held probably in the brain or elsewhere. We know that life is not as straightforward as the heart, but the symbolism of the heart in Scripture is the core of the person. And we need to allow our heart to be focused upon God and God's will and commands. Here we determine to honour our commitments and to keep our promises. And as we look at this passage from Malachi and we ask ourselves, how are we treating God? The question is our heart pure? Is the centre of our lives pure? The warning is clear. Failing to honour your commitment will damage your personal testimony, impact your success in life, and strain your relationship with God. We have a holy God, therefore we need to be a holy people, consecrated our lives to God. But Malachi is not just about the negatives, if you do not. He reminds us that if we do something, God will reward. Malachi provides several spiritual benefits to honouring our commitments with God. In verse 5, he writes this: "My covenant with him is one of life and peace. I gave these to him. It called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name." Being open and recognizing God as a holy God means that we have a life of peace with the Lord. Life that God is in control of. God is satisfying us and giving us his favor. Peace is more than a quiet soul, but also welfare of every kind. When a person honors their commitments, they reach out into an unpredictable future and make one thing predictable. They will be there and they will follow through and they will be true to their word. With one simple commitment, a person creates an island in a sea, certainty in a sea of uncertainty. And God, in the same way, has made a commitment to us. Yes, the future is unpredictable. The present seems to be unpredictable. But God will be there in all times. If we keep close to him, he keeps close to us. He will never leave us. And God will reward us. But going back to Malachi, God was having trouble with his people. The priests failed in their responsibility to teach the people God's law. The people, in turn, failed to reveal God, receive his word, to live distinctively from their non-believing neighbors. The priests and the people were living in rebellion to what God had said. If we are Christians, we should be different. If we are believing the scriptures and teaching of God, we should be different. If we are saying in the words of Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," we should be different in the way we live. And the result of their disregard for God's standards, and in particular throughout this chapter around marriage and the marriage of pagan women, Malachi 5 times uses the word faithless. Some translations use the phrase breaking faith or deal treacherously. Simply speaking, the people of God did not honor their commitments. They failed to keep their promises. They broke their vows. What vows have we broken and need to repent of today? Do we come back to God and take God and our commitment to God seriously? Throughout the whole of Scripture, and particularly throughout this passage in Malachi, the whole theme of covenant, a solemn vow, binding and mutual between two parties, between us and God, is there. And when one party fails to fulfill their covenant obligation, the covenant was said to be broken and the other party was no longer obligated to fulfill their obligations. In society today, many marriages, friendships, business partnerships, etc., have been rendered useless because one person has failed to honour a commitment. And maybe we are feeling away from God because we have failed to honour our commitment to God. But God, seeing our rebellion, sent a solution in the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came to pay the debt of our failure and to bring restoration and to bring wholeness and to give us an opportunity to turn around and come back to God, to repent and say sorry and to live again in relationship with God. From the beginning of time, mankind has failed to keep their commitment with God. Adam in the garden, let's get that right. Adam in the garden. Don't eat the fruit of that tree, we know he does. He breaches the covenant. Yet God sends Jesus to bring restoration, hope, and forgiveness. And as people of faith, people who follow Jesus, we need to come again. And we need to look at our relationship. And we need to come and say, how can we make our relationship with God bulletproof? And so as we continue to read, let's read from verse 15. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. There's a great phrase, isn't it? Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard. And do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. So let's, if we are made by God and belong to him in body and spirit and seek to be godly offspring, let's consider how we can make our relationship with him bulletproof. Yes, in this text he's speaking about the marriage of the Israelites to pagan women, but the principle applies to all our commitments. And so let's consider how we can protect ourselves. Firstly, let's say and remind ourselves that we are responsible for our own lives. We can't blame the other and rationalize our failure and excusing our failure to honor our commitment with God. That lies wholly with us. So let's take responsibility for our lives and our relationship with God. Secondly, let's recognize we can't do everything, so it's okay to say no. If we're going to be people who carry out our commitments, we need to be clear there are some things we can't do. So let's just say no to them and not let people down. Let's speak with purpose and make commitments we intend to keep. A few weeks ago, we looked at the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who tried to convince everybody they had made a commitment to God, yet they didn't keep it. If you don't intend to keep a commitment with God, don't make the commitment. Yes, there's a danger that we change that song, "All to Jesus I Surrender," to "Some to Jesus I Surrender," but at least there's integrity and honesty about that. Try writing down the agreements you make, the commitments you make, so that you know what you are going to do and commit, carry them through. and seek to clear up any broken agreements at the earliest opportunity and put things right. And in our relationship with God, let's promise to carry through the commitments that we have made, even though it may require sacrifice, work, and cost. We have a God who honors his commitments. He keeps his promise. He fulfills his word. When the going gets tough and rough, God does not run away. He sticks to lost causes because he said he would, and he sticks to us. And we're called to stick with God, even in the tough times. In the book, A Promise Kept, is a story of Robertson McQuillig, a former missionary, seminary president, who gave up his post because his wife Muriel had Alzheimer's disease. He dedicated himself full-time for as long as the Lord deemed it necessary to take care of his wife. He wrote of traveling with her. Once our flight was delayed in Atlanta and we had to wait a couple of hours. Now that's a challenge. Every few minutes we'd take a fast-paced walk down the terminal in earnest search of what? Muriel had always been a speed walker and I had to jog to keep up with her. An attractive woman executive type sat across from us working diligently on a computer. Once when we returned from an excursion, she said something without looking up from her papers. Since no one else was nearby, I assumed she had spoken to me, or at least murmured in protest of our constant activity. "Pardon," I asked. "Oh," she said, "I was just asking myself, will I ever find a man to love me like that?" McQuillan turned to the woman and said, "Oh yes, you can find that man like that. You find a man like that because I found a man like that. The only reason I love my wife the way you see me loving her is because the man Jesus first loved me. The only resource I have to draw on my love for my wife is the way I do, is the resources he gives to me. Mirrored in my relationship here with my wife, you can see the faithful love of God for me." When we honor our commitments, we are like God. When we carry through everything we do, we reflect God. We honor God. God is an almighty God. We are called to honor his name. And the way we do that is faithful living. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we recognize at times we have failed you, at times we have got it wrong. Lord, we recognize we have not honored you with our lives. We have failed to keep our commitments. We have failed to treat you as a holy God that you are. Lord, in this moment, in this last song, I surrender. Again, come back to you and surrender our lives. Lord, take control and may our lives honor you as we live for your glory. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our last song, I Surrender. And so thank you for being with us at RBC Online this Sunday evening. And we pray as you surrender to God, God will meet with you. And may the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this evening, this week, and forevermore. Amen. the song Take My Life and Let It Be will just be played as we conclude this service. God bless you.